the issue of blood and a man whose daughter was dying and Jesus' interaction with them. This afternoon, I want to back up to verses 14 through 17 and look at those verses this afternoon. Let's return to Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 through 17. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but thy disciples fast not?" And Jesus said unto them, "Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and then they shall fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth onto an old garment, for that which is put to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved." Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to understand the lessons that we are to learn from the text this evening. And Lord, help us to apply truths to our life. And Lord, speak to us through your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A series of questions. And as oftentimes, Jesus asks questions in return and to get people to think. You have John the Baptist's disciples coming along with two questions. The two questions are found in verse 14. The first being, why do we and the Pharisees fast often? Why do we fast often? That's the first question. And the second question is, but thy disciples fast not. Why don't they fast? And Jesus is going to address these questions. And first of all, what did Jesus say about fasting? Because this will give us a little bit of a clue into some of the things that he's saying. If you turn back with me to the Sermon on the Mount, to chapter 6, we read about when he talked about fasting in verse 16. Because he really spoke words that were not real pleasant to about the Pharisees when he talked about the way they fasted. "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." So Jesus is talking about really the way that a lot of people approach fasting, but he's saying, what is the purpose of fasting? And that's what the thought is, what he wants to get you to think about. And as he's answering their question, he wants them to think about that as well. And so the first thing the statement that he makes to John's disciples is, well, do you mourn if you're in a bridal party and you're having a wedding service and the bridegroom's there and you're part of the bridal party, would you go about mourning? And of course, that's rather silly. It's a time of joy. As a matter of fact, if you look at the Jewish wedding, it was a big celebration. Remember when Jesus was at the wedding at Cana? They celebrated the standard was to celebrate for a number of days. And they ran out of wine at the celebration in Cana, and they had Jesus' mother came and said, "We got a problem. They ran out of wine. What can you do to help me?" Jesus said, you know, basically, really said that it wasn't his time, but he did anyway. He performed his first miracle and turned the water into wine at Cana. But the reason that they'd run out is it was more than just a one-day feast. It was more than just an hour feast. It was a time of celebration. And he's saying, if the bridegroom is there and the wedding is about to begin, would you go about mourning? And the answers that they would have said would have been no. And then he says, well, then why should my disciples fast, is really the statement that he's making. Why would they fast? I'm here. I'm with them. Now, in order to understand what the fasting is about, one needs to look at the scriptural references and places where fasting occurred. If you go back in the Old Testament, you see that fasting occurred during the time of Esther. When did that occur? Well, remember, the king had been deceived by Haman, and it had been open to his deception, and had decreed that all the Jews were to be killed on the same, on one day. And what happened? They went and they prayed and fasted. What was the mark of the fasting? What was the purpose of the fasting? To go before the Lord and to make sure that the seriousness of the situation, and to go before God and to call on His name. We see that fasting occurred during the time of Jeremiah, occurred during the time of Isaiah, occurred during the time of Nehemiah. And you see that every time that fasting occurred, it was a time really of looking and calling on God because of a real problem and a real issue. And they were in great need of the Lord's help. And it wasn't a time of celebration, but it was a time of mourning, really, because destruction was at hand. In the case of Nehemiah, the city wasn't being rebuilt. God had called the nation of Israel and made opportunity for them to go back into the land. The temple wasn't being rebuilt. The walls of the city were in disrepair of Jerusalem. And Nehemiah fasted and prayed. Daniel fasted and prayed. When did he do that? When he realized that the time was ready for the nation of Israel to go back into the land. And we see it was calling on the Lord and being serious before God. Fasting is something that was to be done as a mark of seriousness before the Lord, a crying out at a time of mourning and a need of help. So why would you do this if there's a bridegroom was with him? And Jesus is basically saying, first of all, for the disciples of John, why would you be fasting? Why are you even fasting? What were the disciples of John doing? What had John been called to do? John had been called to prepare the way of the Lord, to prepare the way of the Messiah. Who had he introduced as the Messiah? And that had been done some time before this encounter. He'd introduced Jesus as the Messiah. Remember when he was down baptizing by the Jordan? In the Jordan, he said, and he saw Jesus coming, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." And he also said, "I am unworthy to untie his sandals." You know, it's just, how can I baptize him when I need to be baptized by him? And so John was telling his disciples, Jesus is the Messiah. He's the one we're looking for. He's the one we're longing for. And now they're coming to him going, "Well, why don't your disciples fast? Because we're fasting." Jesus says, "Well, why are you fasting? I'm here. And you shouldn't be fasting because I am here." And then also to answer their question on the Pharisees, why would the Pharisees fast? Well, we saw a little bit of Jesus' instruction in chapter 4 when he was giving the Sermon on the Mount. They had a whole purpose in fasting, and it was a religious purpose centered around themselves. They desired for men to say, "Oh, look at what a religious person. Look at, they are so mournful, they are so sorrowful, they are in such great, they're fasting. They must be really, really pious people." And he's saying they did it for the wrong reason. They did it to draw attention to themselves, that people would say, "They are so wonderful, they are so religious, they are so pious." Jesus is saying that's the wrong reason for fasting too. And then he goes on and we're going to be taking a look here at what he's saying about this whole thing. Beginning at the last portion of chapter, verse 15. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. Okay, so that's he's speaking again of his disciples. There's going to come a day where the bridegroom's going to, I'm going to be taken. Now, what does he mean by taken? Okay, well, we know exactly what happened, and he's speaking of the coming day where he will be put to death at Calvary. He's going to be taken by the members of the Sanhedrin and the priests. He will be taken, arrested, beaten. Then he'll be taken to Calvary. He'll be taken and placed upon a cross, and then he's going to be put to death. And when that happens, he will no longer be with his disciples at that particular time. We also know that he didn't stay dead, but he rose again on the third day. And they weren't prepared for that, even though he told them it was coming. Remember when he appeared to them in the upper room? They initially thought, who is this? And then they realized it was Jesus. And when Thomas was told, who wasn't there, he said, no, I don't believe you. I don't believe that Jesus is alive. And then Christ appeared to him and said, touch my hands and touch my side. Put your hand in my side. It is me. I'm not a spirit. I'm not a ghost. But it's me. I've risen from the dead. And so there was joy, but then the Lord was taken again in that he ascended into heaven and he was no longer with them. And so they were not there. Now, Paul gives us some things and some insight into the whole concept of this being together with the Lord, and the idea of fasting and prayer and being filled with joy. I just want us to look at just a few verses. First of all, if you will turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, 23. Philippians chapter 1, verse 23. The Apostle Paul writes the following, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, I abide in the flesh is more needful to you. So Paul had this real desire to be with Christ. He wanted to be with Jesus, but he realized at this particular time he was still on earth. There was a separation that had occurred. And that separation brought a real longing and a desire to be with Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. Therefore, we are also confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And so, in other words, when we're alive on earth, we're not with Jesus. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And so that is his desire. Even again, he asserts that desire to the Corinthians and says, you know, I'm here, I'm in the body, but when I'm here, I'm absent from the Lord. My desire is to be absent from this body and present with the Lord and to be with Christ. And then if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 12. And Paul writes here and he says, for we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. And so again, Paul gives the example of what it is to be absent from Christ. We don't have complete knowledge. We don't have complete understanding. There are things on earth that occur that we don't understand. We can't see why God is orchestrating events in certain manners. We don't know it all. We're looking, as he says, through a glass darkly. But one day we'll see Jesus face to face and there'll be complete understanding as we're in his presence. And we also won't be in the midst of this turmoil and battle that we have here on earth. And so these are verses that speak of a desire to be with Jesus. If you turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4, 6. 2 Corinthians 4, 6. It says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And again, what he's speaking of here is that God gives us a glimpse of what it's going to be, but one day we will have that completely and totally when we're in his presence. And then John also, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. John writes, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and if doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that we shall appear, and we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so John says, you know, now we're living and we don't know exactly what we're going to be like, but one day we shall, because we're going to be like him when we come into his presence, and we're being conformed to his image now. So Jesus is saying there's this deal when the disciples were with him on earth, they didn't have to mourn, they didn't have to fast, but there was coming a day where he'd be taken from them. And that was the day that they should fast, because they should long for that day that they could be returned to be with him, as even Paul longed for it, John longed for it. They longed to see that perfect day where he shall come into his presence. And then if you go back to chapter 9 of Matthew, Jesus gives two examples of what he's talking about. One example is a sowing example, and another example is an example from a wine. The first example is a sowing example. And he says, no man putteth a piece of new cloth onto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Now, what is he speaking of there? I remember when I was a kid, I'd oftentimes get holes in my pants, and my mom would have to patch them. Now, the problem is, to find cloth that's not brand new that you're patching the hole with. Why? Well, when you take old cloth and it's been washed a few times, what happens to it? It begins to shrink. It's not the same as it was when it was new. So if you take an old garment that's been through the wash a few times and it's shrunk, and then you take a new piece of cloth and place on that and sew it on to make sure that it's good and tight, and it's not going to, what's going to happen when you wash that piece of cloth the next time? Well, the old cloth has been shrunk already, but the new cloth hasn't, and that what Jesus is saying, it'll rend where you tried to patch it, because the two, one's old and one's new. Now, what is his purpose in that? It goes back to the whole purpose of what he was saying about himself and the bridegroom and being with the bridal party and the groom being taken, and then the people mourn, but there's coming a day where they'll be back together again, as we saw. And he's saying, why do you try and put the old and combine it with the new? You're a new creature in Christ. You are not old. You are transformed. And what they were looking at is they were trying to continue to walk by the law. They were continuing, the Pharisees, they wanted to fast. As a matter of fact, they made sure, remember there was one man that came to Jesus, and he said, well, I've done all these things. And Jesus said, yeah, the Pharisees fasted twice a week. They would fast 2 days a week. The Pharisees would fast, and they thought they were doing these good things because they fasted 2 days a week. But it became a regimen, and it wasn't because there was a new heart where they desired to be with God and they desired fellowship with the Lord, but it was done because, okay, today is fasting day. Okay, so we've got to fast today. Tomorrow we can eat. My wife and I were talking about that a little bit. There's a new diet that's come out, and I don't know, maybe they read Jesus' comments about what the Pharisees did, because the new diet is a two-day week fast. And that's supposed to help you lose weight. The only problem is it doesn't help you lose weight if you approach it with the wrong attitude and you fast on Monday, but you eat twice the carbs you'd normally eat on Tuesday to make up for Monday. That's kind of where the Pharisees were in their attitude. They really didn't approach fasting with the right attitude because they weren't looking for the Lord to come. They wanted to build their own kingdom on earth. You know, what's sad is there's a lot of people today in the church that want to build their own kingdom on earth, and they're really not looking for Jesus to come. And so when we fast and pray, what should we be fasting about? Lord Jesus, come. Lord, save souls so that your return can come sooner, and that those will be saved that need to be saved. And that we would have that attitude when we fast and pray. Not fasting, Jesus, help us to make your kingdom on earth, and somehow if we make earth perfect for you, then you can come. That's a wrong attitude. And that's trying to fit the new into the old, and it's going to just tear. It's not going to have any power. But rather, we've been new creatures in Christ, and so we should long for the bridegroom. Just to give you a little concept that was evident even in the Old Testament between Israel and the Lord, if you turn with me to the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. Hosea chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. The Lord talks about marrying Israel. And he says, "And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord." That is the desire that God had for Israel, is to understand what he was making them. In the New Testament, Paul builds on that same thought between Jesus and the church. In Ephesians chapter 5 and 6, he talks about the fact that you and I are the bride of Christ, and he's coming for his bride, and that Jesus is the bridegroom, and that there should be a longing and a joy to be together, because there's this new relationship that's being put in place between the Lord and us. Now, the second example that he gives. Second example. "Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved." So he's answering this question again. Why do we fast and you don't fast? The disciples had a new bottle. And the new bottle was that they understood who Jesus was. And they were with the Lord. The disciples of John were looking for the Messiah. That's why they were following John. They were looking for the promise of the Messiah. And Jesus is saying, "I'm here. I'm already here." So if you're trying to fit into the old system, into the law, as the Pharisees were, or looking for the Messiah when the Messiah is standing right in front of you, as you, John's disciples, are doing, you're really trying to put the new wine, that which is new, into an old bottle. Now, what would happen? You have to understand what the wineskins were made of in those days. The wineskins weren't made like glass bottles today. They were made out of animal skins. And you would take the animal skin and you'd tan it and you'd prepare it and you'd sew it. And so it had seams. Well, as it aged, what happens to a skin as it ages? Shoes, if your shoes are just out and you don't do something to them to preserve them, they'll eventually begin to dry out. The leather will dry. It'll begin to crack. And so consequently, I've had shoes that all of a sudden they begin to wear out and they crack. And I put my foot in them and it causes even the crack to break more. Well, that's what happens at the wineskin. And he's saying you don't take new wine and put it into an old wineskin. You have to put new wine into a new wineskin so that the wineskin is in good condition and it's going to expand and contract just like the wine will. You put the new wine into the old wineskin and all of a sudden the new wine begins to expand. It's going to cause the old skin to break and you will lose all the wine. What is he speaking of? He's speaking of the new life that you and I have been given. We don't try and fit that back into the law. We don't try and fit that back into the reasons that the Pharisees and John's disciples were fasting. But instead, we understand that we're new creatures in Christ. We are His bride. He is the bridegroom. And what was old has passed away. And behold, as we said this morning, all things have become new in Christ. And so Jesus is sharing the purpose of why his disciples don't fast. Now, there's a place for fasting in the church, but as I mentioned, it should be centered on the purposes of Christ's coming for his bride and longing for that day. And the sad thing is, I think that many Christians today don't long for the coming of the Lord. And so if they do fast and pray, it's probably going back to the old way that the Pharisees were to say, look at how pious we are. We fast and pray. No, Jesus said, if you're going to fast, don't let people know. But the purpose of your fast should be for the purpose of the kingdom of God, that he would come and for his church and that the wedding feast could be completed. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand these truths. Help us to apply these truths to our life. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see the difference between the disciples of John and the Pharisees fasting and why the Jesus' disciples weren't. And even now as he's been taken from us for a time, we're to long for that day of his return and that should be the center of our prayers. Lord, I pray now that you would just help us to understand this and make application to our lives as we live and walk with you. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.